Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, this morning, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. As Peter is writing to Christians in Rome, who are under persecution, one of the styles of persecution, or one of the ways in which they persecuted Christians, was to take animal skins and wrap them in it, actually sew them in it. And then they would either nail them to a cross or to somewhere place them, and then they would release wild dogs to chew at the hides, which would ultimately kill the Christians that were wrapped in them. Other times there were lions and other wild animals that were used as well. But one of the things that, you know, I had read about, the frequently would use the packs of wild dogs to basically maul these Christians to death because they would be torn apart in these hides that they were wrapped in. Well, in Christianity, the realization is sometimes we get torn apart. And the Bible teaches, Ephesians chapter 4 is going to reference that, as pastors and teachers, we are to perfect the saints, and that is to put them back together so that they can do the work of the ministry and so that they can edify the body of Christ. So I want to focus a little bit today on what are some of the things that would tear us apart according to what Peter is writing to the Christians about here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now again, this message then is directed toward Christians who might be torn apart by various things that I'll be mentioning. But dear friend, if you are not in Christ, you're not a new creature, not sure of your eternal home and destiny, we would love to take that opportunity to show you from the Word of God, right from God's Word, how you can become a child of God. And so becoming a Christian is the most important decision you can ever make in your life. And so let me invite you to talk to us regarding that. But I want to talk to you this morning about be aware of being torn apart. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, as we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what an important topic for us to discuss, because sometimes we do feel like we're torn apart. And there are various things I believe in this passage of Scripture that would lead us to understanding that, understanding where it's coming from and what we can do to help prevent that, or to receive the grace needed to go through a time like that. Father, you don't allow us to be prevented of every ill thing that happens to us. That's even found right in this passage, this paragraph. And so, Father, help us now to take your word, to see what it says, what it looks like, and then see what it looks like in our lives, how it fits in the way we live here today in 2021. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Punctuation is always important in the Bible, but very often overlooked. This is one of the discussions that we're going to actually have next Sunday evening. When considering Psalm 25, a couple of the verses make more sense if you notice the punctuation. I was noticing that a couple of weeks ago in preparation for this message, and I want you to see how verse 6 and 7 connect together and kind of use the punctuation to show you how they connect together. It says in chapter 5, verse 6, a verse I preached on last week, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." But it doesn't say period there. What's the punctuation there? Do you identify that? Do you still remember? Some of you have been out of school for a while. That's a what? That's a colon. What does a colon do? Well, a colon suggests to us that the whatever comes helps explain what is before the colon. So whatever's after the colon is there to help explain it. And so how does he explain what it looks like to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Well, you do that by casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. So really, for an explanation of what that looks like to humble yourself is to take and cast your care upon him. And I talked about this briefly last week. One of the things we do out of pride sometimes is try to handle everything on our own without asking the Lord for help. And so he's saying here, let me explain what this looks like. To humble yourself means to cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. By the way, there is a semicolon separating them, and that simply means that a similar phrase or a similar idea, a similar explanation is about to follow. So casting your care upon him, and also for he careth for you, are in that similar nature. But I want to talk to you this morning then about being careful, about being torn apart by your cares. And again, let's look at verse number 7 then, just the beginning and really just part of the beginning, casting all your care upon him. Notice that, all your care upon him. I used to have a professor that I would hear preach, and he would say, all means all, and that's all means. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? Okay, some of you have heard that before. Yeah, he'd, whenever he'd get the word all, he'd stop and say, and all means all, and that's all means. And I got that point after a few years ingrained into me. But he's saying everything that we have in life, we are to take and to cast upon him. But the interesting word there then is care. Well, there's several interesting words. Casting, we'll talk about that later. Casting all your care upon him. And the word care has that idea of something that might make you anxious, something that might cause you to become worried. I'm sure none of you worry, but there are other people that do. Anything that might cause you to become worried, overly concerned, consumed about something. It also has this idea of that which divides the mind, the root meaning. And I talked about this again a little bit last week. I told you there's going to be a little bit of carryover. What in your life is causing you so much concern that it kind of divides your mind? Meaning, you can't focus when you're going to read the Bible. You're having trouble focusing on conversations. You're in the middle of something else, and man, you start thinking about this. And what happens is it divides your mind so that you can't give something your utmost attention like you'd like to. I think every one of us has been there somewhere at some time. If you read your Bible and you have a daily time and walk with the Lord, somewhere, sometime, you've been sitting down before your Bible trying to read it and can't focus on it. And what's going on? You know, am I becoming weak as a Christian? Is this a satanic attack? And some of those things might be true. But very often the reason is our mind's divided because there's something consuming our thoughts. And so again, as a Christian, what we need to do at a time like that is that take whatever's consuming us and cast it upon him, knowing he cares about that. He's not just caring about you focusing on your Bible. He's also caring about that which is dividing your mind. But I also did some further study, and that word also means to tear your mind apart or to tear you apart. You go through some things in life, and you even describe it this way. Man, this is just tearing me up. What are you saying by this? This attack, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional or dealing with a relationship, is just getting to you. The idea you're not able to recover as quickly as you used to. You're not able to get through this trial like you've gotten through some in the past. And you just say, man, this is tearing me up. So the reality of it is one of the things that tears us apart as Christians, almost like that dog, those dogs would maul the believers wrapped in hides, is this idea of these trials that come upon us. And they begin to tear at us. And the problem is the longer they persist, the more difficult that becomes. Yeah, stop and think about it. You have a head cold for a day. You get through it. It's a day. But what if it's a week? What if it's 3 weeks? I mean, some have talked about the virus and how it's impacted them, and they had the immediate impact of the illness, and they had that for whatever, 5, 7, 10 days. But then I heard from several this week, and it's been weeks since they've had the virus, and I just can't get my energy back. Been there? Some of you have literally been there. And so weeks later, you just still don't have the energy. You just still don't. Some of the symptoms, while you don't have the virus anymore, some of the symptoms are just nagging you. So again, we have to understand as Christians, sometimes this really tears us apart. And so what we need to be able to do is take that and cast it upon the Lord. Now, I thought of Peter himself. He had several things like this. He had a number of them, but one, he had a mother-in-law that was sick and asked the Lord there, and the Lord interceded in her health. I thought of the followers that were following the Lord, and they didn't know how they were going to feed them, and that became one of his concerns. And so, thankfully, the Lord was able to multiply the loaves and the fishes, and at one point they fed 5,000, another point they fed 4,000 people, plus the women and children, and gathered baskets full afterward. But again, that must have been nagging. In fact, it seemed to be by the response of the disciples, hey, send them away. It was maybe a burden to them. I don't know what we're going to do with them. Just send them home. Just send them home. And so Peter knew what it was to experience things that just tear you apart. An illness of a family member. The needs of people around you. And what we have to be able to learn to do as Christians is to take that and give that over to the Lord. And again, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that aspect later. But I think it is helpful for us maybe right now to even stop and consider what is tearing you apart right now. What is causing you, maybe when you're sitting down to read your Bible, to be divided, double-minded in a sense. Man, you just can't get your mind off of it. You find yourself when you go to prayer, it's the first thing you're praying about. Sometimes it's the only thing you're praying about. You just can't get your mind off of it. Again, we need to identify that which is causing us to be torn apart. We need to be aware of it and then also know what to do with it. And again, I'm going to focus a little bit more on that. So what is dividing your thinking? What is tearing you apart? And let's identify some of those things. Let's maybe even mark them down for these are things I really need to focus on and giving them to the Lord and giving myself to the Lord in the midst of it. But let's look in this passage. Is that the only thing that's tearing us apart? Well, it's not. So I want you to see a second thing in this passage where it goes on to say in verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So we need to beware also of being torn apart by your adversary. Just look at the words there a little bit again of verse number 8. Because your adversary. You know, I think at times we believe in Christianity or we get the mindset, well, I'm not really important enough for Satan to intercede or impact my life. And at times I've even had that mindset, well, I'm not a mega church preacher, and so I don't think that God will really go after me. Let me use an illustration of that. Some people are really concerned about online and online banking and all that, and maybe you're one of them. Well, dear friend, there's no hacker going after my bank account because I know what it looks like. And so I'm thinking, well, I'm not one of the big fish in the pond here. They're going after the big fish in the pond. They're not going after a preacher. And so it's a little bit, you know, I'm just not willing to bow to my mind to getting overly concerned about this. Maybe I should. And maybe you'll try to tell me why I should. Don't waste your energy. But I'm thinking, you know what? They're not going after me. They're going after the Steve Hildebrands of the world and the Bob Wellers of the world. You know, the guys that have all the loot. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I used to use Pastor Terry all the time as that illustration, but the rich guys. But no, I want you to understand you have an enemy. By the way, and don't lose focus of who your enemy is. Your enemy is who? It's Satan, the devil. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Does that bring a Bible character in the Old Testament to your mind? Who is it? Okay, several are coming out. Mine went to Job, where the sons of God, you know, and where hast thou been, walking about to and fro throughout the whole earth. But there are many others, as mentioned here this morning. So again, Satan is going about seeking whom he may devour. He's going about as what kind of an animal? As a roaring lion. There's much I could talk about in that. I just don't have the time. But just think of the lion who's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now again, let me remind you what kind of animals the king of the beast attacks. He attacks generally those that are small, those that are they're weak, those that are sickly. You know, the king of the beast doesn't walk in and look at a herd of whatever animal that it might be and say, boy, I want the biggest one in here. I'm taking them on. No, he actually looks for the one that's separated, the one that's a little bit sickly right now. He's going to feast and feed on them. So let's consider these two thoughts then together. If I'm carrying burdens that are causing me to be double-minded, that are causing me to be torn apart, that are causing me to be distracted, then how much more does that make me pray also then for the second thing that's going to tear me apart? And that is satanic attacks. So with that in mind, I decided to do a little bit of searching online. I found some interesting things. I found a number of people trying to do selfies with animals, and the animal attacks them. You know, they're so distracted by their phone. One girl there is so distracted, she's trying to get a picture with a camel that the camel bites her head. You know, she's distracted by a phone and puts herself really in harm's way. Others were distracted when trying to get a picture with a lion or a picture with a tiger at a zoo, and all of a sudden they come up and crash the fence behind them. Again, we sometimes get so distracted and torn apart by one thing that we're then attacked by something else. So as a Christian, what really gets us sometimes is we get worn down by the trials, and sadly, one of the first things that we think about is just detaching from getting into the Word every day, and when we detach from fellowship, and we detach from other things, and we make ourselves then pray for the second attack as well. And so as a Christian, we need to really be careful. I was thinking about Peter. Remember the Lord said to him, Satan hath desired to sift you, all of you, as wheat. And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, Peter. So again, Satan has that desire to kind of tear Christians apart. He is called the accuser of the brethren. Thankfully, one day he'll be cast down. Amen? I don't know exactly what that might look like, but I know it will be exciting when our arch enemy is ultimately destroyed. And so we as Christians got to recognize that there are several ways that attacks may come and several things that might tear you apart. And if you're torn apart by the cares of this world, do you remember hearing that? Do you remember hearing the story of the sower and the seed? And they're casting it forth, and some of that seed begins to take root, and then the cares of this world choke it. Well, that's sometimes what happens in our lives. And the cares of this world begin to tear us apart. But whatever you're going through right now, you have to recognize, okay, if I'm not careful, use the words here, if I'm not careful, I'm not only going to be torn apart by the trial, but I'm going to be torn apart by how I respond to it. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to make myself susceptible to some type of a satanic attack. With that in mind, let's turn in our Bibles. I wasn't planning on doing this, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Do you know where I am if I say Matthew 7? What's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? What's that section called? It's called the Sermon on the Mount. That's what it's commonly referred to. It's the first recorded sermon of the Lord in Scripture and also the longest recorded sermon in the Scripture. And I want you to notice how he brings this sermon to a conclusion. The Lord's also awesome at giving an introduction, the body of a message, and a conclusion. And he says, therefore, verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which hath built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. It was founded upon some critical elements. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened. It'll be like unto a foolish man, which built his house. A foolish man builds it on the sand. Because that when the rains descend and the floods come, that house is going to fall. And he describes it here. And great is the fall of it. So, one thing I want you to understand, let's go back to 1 Peter 5 because it's important we see the next verses here. I want you to understand the trial in and of itself won't destroy you, but sometimes your response to it will. The trial itself will not destroy you, but how you respond to it might. Let me use it for instance. Let's say the virus. Now, there are some Christians, sadly, and when I look out here, some of you, this is going to be too near and dear to your heart, but we've lost some friends. And Sister Karen over there lost her mate through this virus. Now, while that virus was able to attack his body, it was not able to attack his soul. He didn't lose to this virus. He's now in heaven, and I praise the Lord for the precious promises that are there. There are actually some who've gone through the virus that are much worse off than the Christians that have been taken in death. Because what happened with them is they got so discouraged and so frustrated, they just kind of gave up on Christianity. And they thought, God doesn't really love me. And so they began to stop. That sounds like a weird statement, but really is what happened. They begin to stop doing things. And that's ultimately what took them down. Not the virus, but the fact that they quit trusting in the Lord, the fact that they quit praying, the fact that they quit reading their Bible, the fact that they quit trying to serve the Lord. And so while they're past the virus, they're over the virus, they've got a worse cancer, a worse thing in their life right now, and it's sometimes bitterness, angry with God, disappointed, depressed. So again, I want to just focus then in the very end here of this message. All right, I know I can be torn apart by my trials and I can be torn apart by satanic attacks, but what can I do about that? And so let's focus about that briefly here in the end. And I put two things down here we can do. Number one is our own carefulness. Again, we are not... Everything doesn't rely upon us, but we do have to do something. And there are some responsibilities that Christians have been given in this passage. For instance, verse 7, what are you to do? You are to what? You're to cast your care upon him. What does that look like? Well, the word cast means to throw off. It means to throw away. Someone has described that you throw it off your shoulder and put it on another shoulder, and that is the Lord's. So as a Christian, again, if I'm about to be attacked by Satan, I don't want to be weighed down by the burdens. So this is how I mentally pictured it, and actually, I believe, illustrated it years ago. So I didn't bring a backpack along, but years ago I brought a backpack and filled it with heavy things and showed how susceptible I would be to an attack by Satan or an attack by a lion. I can't run as fast being burdened down. I've got this thing flopping around on my back, so I need to cast that off. If I want to get away from a lion, I need to cast that off to be able to run more freely. And so, as a Christian, what we need to do is throw it on to the Lord. Now again, dear friend, don't just throw the prayer request onto the Lord. Throw yourself onto the Lord. Your thinking, your believing, your faith. Remember one time when several times when the Lord really chided his followers because they were of little faith. Another passage of scripture where it says, I've not seen such great faith in all the earth. And so one of the things I think we do is we cast the trial onto the Lord, but I think we also need to cast ourselves onto the Lord and ask for help. So therein is one of our responsibilities. We are to cast it upon him, knowing he cares for us. But look at some other words here. Look in verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant. The word, by the way, I thought this was really interesting. You got a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour, and you're supposed to be calm, cool, and collected. That's really the idea of being sober. The idea of calm and collected. Wait a second. How can I be calm and collected knowing there's an enemy trying to attack me? Well, you can be when you've recognized you've already cast yourself into the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. See, you can be when you recognize it's not about all that what I'm doing, but it's about what he's also doing. And so one of the things that we are to be doing is, kind of like Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, let your moderation be known. That's a quiet peaceableness. How can I have that quiet peaceableness knowing the Lord is at hand, according to verse number 5 of that passage? So, be careful for nothing. Again, knowing the Lord is at hand, I can be careful for nothing because I'm going to give everything over to the Lord by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So again, mold those two passages together. So be sober. Calm down. Pull your thinking together. Gird up the loins of your mind. You're not in this battle alone. There are some responsibilities that you as a Christian should take on, but be calm knowing that the Lord is on your side. He'll help you through this. Be sober, be vigilant. The word vigilant there means to be watchful, cautious, careful. Again, knowing you've got an enemy out there that would like to attack you. If you are walking through the jungle somewhere, knowing there were lions about. I remember a couple years ago I went elk hunting, and one of the things that they reminded you of when you're elk hunting is, hey, there are mountain lions out there, and so really be cautious. So I remember coming back the one night, I don't think I've ever told Karen about this, and that's okay, but anyway, but my GPS is dying because I'm running out of battery. When you got out there so far, sometimes even with battery backup, things started to crash. And I remember my light was dying. I was out there. So I'm basically out in the dark trying to find my way back across the mountain. I'd have to shut my phone off and then and travel for about 10, 15 minutes and then turn it back on. I look like, remember that cartoon? I guess it's still out there. It kind of shows the path of the kid going over everything, goes over the coffee table, under the sofa and everything. I probably look like that going across the mountain. Because I turn my GPS on, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm way over here now. And then I turn it off and go for a little while. Wow, now I'm way down here. But what was happening is I wasn't able to keep in that constant focus. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh, mountain lions are out here. I've got no light. I've got no GPS. And no one else is around me because I went to a separate area than everybody else. And so you start to think, man, there's a lion. I need to be watchful out here. Now, how do you be watchful in the dark? I'm not really sure. But I know even in the dark, I had my gun ready because I thought if I heard something about to attack me, I'm going to at least shoot shots at it and not knowing what it is. But that's what it's basically saying. As a Christian, be careful. Be careful about how you handle your trials because Satan would love nothing more than to take you down. He's an adversary. He's not your friend. Let's look again in verse number 9 here, I believe it is, that we need to whom resist steadfast in the faith. Why do I need to resist Satan? I'll tell you what, he'll put some tempting things out there when you're weak. He'll put some tempting things out there. But I need to move on to the final thing. But then you also have the care of Christ. Look at verses 10 and 11. But the God of all grace. I thought about this. When you have all your care, give it to the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered for a while, he'll make you, look at this, you perfect, established. He'll strengthen and settle you. Remember, you're to be calm. Well, it's a lot easier when the God of all grace is helping you. And he's giving you a peace that passeth all understanding. Brother Bill, were you ever preaching and just all these verses come to your mind? You could just extend the sermon another hour, correct? Yeah, it's like a running dialogue. By the way, dear friend, I want you to know it is so true. The God of all grace will help to settle you during these times. Then look at verse number 11, and I got to close. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Dear Christian, not good news is there are several things in life that can tear you apart. The first is the cares of this life, the cares of this world. The second is our adversary, the devil. Both have the opportunities to tear us apart. And by the way, from time to time, every one of us are going to get torn apart. It's just true. If you think you are above being torn apart, I don't think you're thinking clearly and biblically. It's going to happen. So what do you do when those opportunities arise? You need to, as the scripture says, cast your care upon him. Be calm. Be sober. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Resist the devil, because he's going to offer you opportunities, temptations to feel good. By the way, one of the greatest, I think, temptations to sin is when you come through the difficult temptations of trials. Because when you don't feel good, you're looking for something that'll just make you feel good for a little bit. Just last for a season, the scripture says. And then realize the God of all grace is there. And he will make you perfect. He'll establish you. He'll strengthen you. He'll settle you. When being torn apart, I want us to be aware of the attacks that can come, and also the helps that are there to make a way of escape so we can be able to bear it. Let's close with a word of prayer.